Okay. And John, did you open a friend's thing?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you open up our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning, and may you apply it to our lives, and may it ultimately be to your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
So we're on 14, correct?
14. Yep. Start reading.
So we typically. How were we doing this last time? Were
I
we taking
don't
it verse by
remember.
verse?
I
Or.
think we've sort of gone back and forth depending on how it lent itself.
All right. I'll just read it. If anyone has
Sure.
anything they want to say,
Right. We can
just.
go back over
All
it.
right. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the
Well, say
upright,
that again, John. Read that again, John.
eight. The
Yeah.
wisdom of the upright is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit.
Okay, you see.
Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. Don't know what that means, but the house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and the end of mirth may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. I'm going to pause here.
Sure.
I really like verse 15 where it says, The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. I think that we see that so much today in society that people just believe every single thing that they're told. And there's a
Without looking
lot of
further
lies.
into it,
Yeah,
yeah.
there's a lot of lies out there in the world. And I mean, like what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago with the whole Russia-Ukraine thing. And that's just one example. There's so many things that people just like, oh, well, the news told me this. And so it's like, well, that's it then. That settles it's a really bad thing to do that. But I don't have anything else to say other than
But you notice it says a simple person believes anything, and
yeah.
the wise man is the one who ponders his course. It's difficult for a person who is not wise to do anything other than believe everything he hears, because he doesn't even know how to approach getting the understanding that he needs. It's so one of the things. It takes wisdom, in other words, to act wisely, if that makes any more sense. I know what you're
Yes, it
saying.
does.
I know what you're saying. But I
This is
doubt, I
why,
mean,
yeah,
I
I
doubt,
was going
in
to say.
fairness, it's very difficult sometimes to find out what the truth is.
I mean, okay, There are things though that are like, I think for all of the propositions, I think those are always easy to look just below the surface. And that's where people get deceived so often.
But that
You
takes
say,
wisdom to
oh,
look to.
I saw a commercial. It said this was bad, therefore it's bad. I don't like those things, you know. And then they vote for these things that are really destructive.
That's a perfect illustration, though, John, of what I'm trying. I think of what I'm trying to say,
I mean, it doesn't even take
because
that
it
much.
sounds good, what the way it's written up, using the propositions that you would vote on as an example, the way they're written up, they sound very desirable. This is going to
Well,
do
like the
this good
grocery bag
thing.
thing, for example, you know, we should, you don't want, don't you want to protect the environment? Yeah, okay then, be a good person and vote for this. And it's stupid. Now we're all paying to have grocery store bags. It was a lie.
Well, something happened that made it that way too. I mean, it started out good, I think, because a lot of the stores were even providing the bags free anyway. But what blew it up was when COVID came and they didn't let you, they reversed it. You had to use the
Right.
bags that the
Which I
store
thought was
gave out.
funny. Yeah, you remember that, Carm? When COVID first started,
You
you go to
couldn't
the
bring
store
your own bag
and they didn't
anymore.
want you to bring your own bags. Then they were giving them away, and I was like, oh, look at that. It was an easy,
But
but I
when they gave
don't
them
want
away, they weren't giving away paper bags. They were giving away plastic bags, right? Or was it paper? I can't remember.
No, it
It was
was,
paper. It
that's right.
was paper.
Yeah,
And
which is
then
even nicer.
then they started charging you for them.
I remember when I was a kid and my mom would go grocery shopping, it was only paper.
Yeah, you didn't have
And
anything
she would
else.
have a whole grocery cart just full of paper bags. We loved them. That was it. It was only paper bags. They were great.
Yeah, they were. And people used to recycle them too because they used them as trash can liners
Yeah.
in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you could use it to light fires if you were doing that. I mean, so many uses for those. But my point is, maybe that was a bad example. People believe everything on a surface level.
Yeah, without.
Maybe that's what this is saying. And then and there's usually deeper significance to things, right? Okay, let's continue with verse 20. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Yeah, that's true too. But he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do not go astray. Oh, sorry. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. That's a great principle too, verse 23. In all labor there is profit. In other words, there is no meaningless job. I think all employment is valuable and honorable. You know, we were talking about that yesterday too, Dan. We were at the grocery store. I was bagging my own groceries and the lady that was working at the checkout was like, oh, you should work. I was like, I would love it. I would love it. You know, and we were just talking, and she was saying, like, oh, we get these kids in here that work, one day and then we never see them again. And I was like, I would love to do this, just bag groceries and stuff. And it's like, I really don't, I don't know. I guess that's the,
It's something tangible that I know exactly how you feel because I've said some similar things many times, but
yeah, I would love to do it. I was even saying, like, thinking, like, maybe I'll
you
just
wouldn't like the
no, but I mean, obviously, it would be just in addition to my job. I
pay.
couldn't quit, but I was thinking, like, I could do it on the weekends, but I was like, I don't
Right.
want to forfeit my weekends just to go bag groceries, but I would appreciate the job, and particularly if it was my first job, I would think that was great. But anyway, my point is
Yeah, no, I agree. Obviously, it's good.
I think that that's what's bad about today is that there's so much, Bill Maher was talking about this too. There's so much jobs and employment opportunities that are open and vacant. It's not, the problem is not employment opportunities. There's tons of employment opportunities, but nobody's taking the jobs. Nobody wants to work. So there's more openings than there are people willing to take those. And I think it's because there's this idea like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, it's like, I just want these nice, cool jobs. I want to be a YouTube influencer. I don't want to bag groceries at a grocery store. And that leads to poverty. But anyway, if no one else has anything to contribute, I'll just continue on.
No, I have some things to contribute, but yeah, it's it. I'm wondering though. I know what you're saying, and I think there is a lot of that. You know, I'd rather be an influencer, or you know, something that's in the line that's visible and everybody can see me and.
And I don't know if it's that, but I was talking to Carmen yesterday about it. I was like, why would that lady at the grocery store say that they hire these people and they see them once and then they never see them again? When it's like, if I was a kid, I would have loved to have had that. So
That I
I
really can't understand. You know, that does seem to fit what you're describing. I would think, and the reason I say that is, why would you even go in for the job in the first place and only stay there for one day? Obviously, you know it's what it's paying. You know you're going to have to work to get the money, right?
Right.
So if you aren't interested in the pay, because you think it's too low and you're not interested in working that hard, why would you even apply? What does that prove?
Think they just don't like when boss tell them what to do. They want to be the boss.
Can you hear Carmen?
Yeah, it's like
Okay.
they want. Yeah, I'm sure they. That's another thing too. Yeah. Oh, I could be the boss. As soon as
I know that's
they
the other thing.
walk in the
I should be
door,
running
as
this
soon as they walk in the door, they're
place.
looking, oh, that guy, I could do what he's doing. What am I doing this for? I'm quitting. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, a lot
It's a
of things.
weird thing.
Obviously, a lot of things. Because
I was doing.
there are problems. I mean, how do you pay your rent working in a grocery store?
Well, obviously, that's not a problem. If you have the luxury again to work at a place one day and then quit, you're not worrying
I
about
guess
rent.
you're not worried
You're
about
living
that.
with mom and dad,
Yeah.
which I get that. But even
Yeah.
so, isn't it? It's like, hey, I'm making money that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I worked horrible jobs,
Yeah.
dirty, disgusting jobs, and I was happy for the paycheck.
Think they have a TV show like
Great jobs. Yeah, I did.
that.
I was cleaning out the oil vat at
Oh
McCrory.
yeah, that's one of the worst. I think he did. I think the guy on the TV did
Yeah,
that
I had to clean that and
once.
cutting down boxes and working at Lobitz's, which is another, I mean, crazy. And but I was willing to do anything.
I worked at McDonald's. That was my first job.
What was that?
Carmen says she worked at McDonald's. That was her first job.
Oh.
Anyway, let's continue. Verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. He who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. Oh, I'm sorry, I want to pause there.
Sure.
That's interesting. That's an interesting verse. He who
What?
oppresses the poor reproaches his maker. So it's like you're dishonoring God by oppressing the poor.
Because God made all men. He created everyone, rich and poor alike. Yeah,
But
that's
and then oh,
nice.
but he who honors him, capital H,
Yeah.
If you're going to honor God, you have mercy on the needy.
Nice.
Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death.
That one. Interesting.
What's that, Dad?
I don't understand that one.
I know, it's kind of weird, huh?
Well, because you don't know how you should read it.
Let me see my commentaries.
Whose death?
I know.
The death of the wicked or the death of or the
that's
righteous?
Exactly the
yeah,
the
I mean, that's the dilemma.
It says some of the Proverbs describe deliverance from death itself. The teaching of life after death is not a major teaching in the Old Testament, but neither is it altogether neglected. Okay, that did nothing. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if that means that we have a refuge in the death of the wicked.
Which is a possible way to read it.
Right. Or do we have a refuge in our own death?
Yeah.
I think I would choose the latter of the two.
The latter over the former, yeah.
Because it's describing the banishment of the wickedness. But in our death, we have a refuge. Whereas they're banished into utter darkness or outer darkness.
Right.
We have, in other words, a place of refuge. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools? But what is in the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, verse 34, if that's not a commentary on America today, you know, a righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Yeah.
You had
asked a question earlier about another verse. I think it was up around 10.
Yeah.
The heart alone knows its bitterness, and no outsider can share in its joy. I think what it's saying is that you're the only one who really can know how it feels when something bad happens. Mm. And likewise, a person on the outside really doesn't know how great you feel when something good happens. It's you,
that's
you
really,
really,
really
one who knows.
Right. Yeah, all joy and sorrow really is personal because nobody can, even if we've had the same experiences, your pain is your pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Yeah,
that's a profound concept. And I think you're right in your explanation there.
There's one that we read earlier. Oh, on verse 3, where it says, "In the mouth of a fool is a rod of haughtiness," one says. The thought that came to me when I was reading that earlier is the rod is the implement for discipline in the Bible. You know, spare the rod and you spoil the child. So it's always correction or discipline that's implied. And what I think this is saying is that the fool, when he tries to correct by his words, it's mixed with pride. And therefore it fails to that extent with correction because it's proud. But the lips of the wise, I guess, are guarding against that. It says protect. I don't know what it means by protect them, but that was the thought that came to me.
Yeah, let me. I think those are very good comments. Mine says that this proverb addresses the dangers of foolish speech and the rewards of sensible speech. The words of the fool shape themselves into a rod that is ready for his enemies to use on him.
Oh, that's interesting.
This proverb calls to mind that many people are their own worst enemy. Given enough rope, they prepare a noose for their own hanging.
Okay.
It's a very interesting verse, though.
Okay, I'm going to read a little from 15 here, John.
Okay.
A gentle response allays wrath, a harsh word provokes anger. The tongue of the wise produces much knowledge, but the mouth of dullards pours out folly. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the bad and the good. A healing tongue is a tree of life, but a devious one makes for a broken spirit. A fool spurns the discipline of his father, but one who heeds reproof becomes clever. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but in the harvest of the wicked, there is trouble. I think that was something reminds me of something we were talking about last time, of how there's no profit from wicked or unjust dealings. It's in the house of the righteous that you find the true wealth, because it's been gotten in a righteous manner. The lips of the wise disseminate knowledge, not so the minds of dullards. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. Discipline seems bad to him who forsakes the way. He who spurns reproof will die. Sheol and Abaddon lie exposed to the Lord. How much more the minds of men? The scoffer dislikes being reproved. He will not resort to the wise. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. A sad heart makes a despondent mood. The mind of a prudent man seeks knowledge. The mouth of the dullard pursues folly. All the days of a poor man are wretched, but contentment is a feast without end. That's cool.
What verse was that?
That's verse 15. How does yours read?
Was gonna say mine.
Totally different.
All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast.
Okay.
What did yours say again?
All the days of a poor man are wretched, as opposed to all the days of,
The afflicted are evil.
okay, wretched, evil, afflicted,
Okay.
poor. Let me see if I can. Okay, but contentment is a feast without end. That's
Okay, a continual feast, yeah.
continual feast, yeah. I
Yeah.
think that's implying that it's lack of contentment that makes, on the part of the poor, that makes their lives as even more wretched than they might otherwise be, while with contentment, even having little is like a feast because you approach it with that thankfulness and contentment.
Yeah, I mean, Paul talks about
Yeah.
godliness with contentment
Yeah.
and how that's a great gain.
Better a little, and here you go, better a little with fear of the Lord than great wealth with confusion.
We were just talking about contentment this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Better a
mean,
meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened ox where there is hate. I mean, hatred is a form of discontent, obviously.
yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's another thing that's plaguing this generation is that we want all of you want everything, the houses, the cars, the phones, the TV, and if you don't, and you will never feel satisfied if you until you have those, and you need them as soon as possible. And so there's this general feeling of discontent.
A hot-tempered man provokes a quarrel. A patient man calms strife. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. but the path of the upright is paved. That's it worth thinking about. I could see,
Yeah, I know
like, a
exactly.
hedge of thorns is something that's almost impossible to get through. You know, like, you could have a machete and you could be chopping at it. First of all, it's very tough. And then, even on top of the toughness, they're aggressive in their resistance to your attempts to cut through them. They're gonna cut you.
Yeah.
So it's like
You're just making
when you're
things harder
looking
for
for the
yourself
easy
once you
way out,
already.
it's
Yes.
like everything is even harder to do than when you say, okay, I've got this job I want to do. I'm prepared for it. I'm going to attack it. And then it goes smoothly.
Don't I say that all the time, Carm? That's something I think about all the time. When I'm going to do something, I do it right, because otherwise you're making things harder for yourself than they
Harder
should
for
be.
yourself.
So trying to take the easy way out, or doing something in a lazy manner, you're just putting thorns in your path. It's really true.
Wise son makes his father happy. A fool of a man humiliates his mother. Folly is joy to one devoid of sense. A prudent man walks a straight path. Plans are foiled for want of counsel, but they succeed through many advisors. A ready response is a joy to a man, and how good is a word rightly timed? For an intelligent man, the path of life leads upward in order to avoid Sheol below. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the homestead of the widow. Evil thoughts are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. He who pursues ill-gotten gain makes trouble for his household. He who spurns gifts will live long. The heart of the righteous man rehearses his answer, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. What brightens the eye gladdens the heart. That's interesting. What do you think that means?
I don't know. I was trying to see if, or think of, if that relates to Jesus's teaching that
Oh, the light of the single eye, and if his eye is not
light
single,
that
it's
is in
full of
you,
darkness.
yeah. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Wonder. And this was verse, what verse?
30.
I lost my place.
30.
Oh, 30. What brightens the eye gladdens the heart.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know. I'm just thinking a bunch of things. I know when David was, I think it was David, was in one of his retreats. No, it was Saul and Jonathan. Saul had bound all of the men, saying that they shouldn't eat anything until he had accomplished some objective.
Yeah,
And
they said that they
Jonathan wasn't present at when that instruction was given. So he and everybody was famished, and they were hardly able to walk. And he sees this honey on the side of the road, and he dips his staff in and eats some. And it says, and his eyes were lightened. Like, so what it meant by that was that it, like, restored his soul, his strength, right? So I think that's what it means by brightens the eye. It's like, what the thing that this gladness of heart itself is the thing that brightens the eyes.
Yeah.
It's like when people say, like, say, laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah.
Well, the gladness of a heart gives you that brightness of the eyes or that restored strength. Likewise, good news puts fat on the bones.
Yeah, I think that that's a good, I think that's the right explanation. That, yeah.
He whose ear heeds the discipline of life lodges among the wise. Life does discipline us, or actually God disciplines us through life, the life we live.
Yeah.
But we have to heed it. And then we become wise. He who spurns discipline hates himself. He who heeds reproof gains understanding. The fear of the Lord is the discipline of wisdom. Humility precedes honor.
Yeah. That's another lesson that we've lost today.
Humility.
Yeah, well, that humility precedes honor. That if you want honor, that starts with humility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nowadays, we think that we just get instant honor.
Well, I think we have time for another.
Yeah, we can do 16, definitely. All right.
A man may arrange his thoughts, but what he says depends on the Lord. What does your version say on that?
The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I interpret that to mean, you know, a man may direct his steps, but,
yeah,
you know, it's like we have things prepared in our heart. That I guess that's in our domain.
Mm-hmm.
In order to prepare what we do. But whether or not we're going to get the go-ahead or the approval, the answer of the tongue is from the Lord.
Hmm.
In other words, well, yeah. Does that make sense?
I'm really still a little... perplexed by this one.
Well, let's see what it
I says. I don't know what it means to arrange.
It says heart. That these.
It's really not thoughts. It's heart in the Hebrew. It's lev.
Well, it's taking one and two together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read two. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
So it says these verses contrast human limitations with the sovereignty of God. Man can plan, dream, and hope, but the final outcome is from the Lord. Rather than resign ourselves to fate, we should trust in God. Our loving Lord is in control of our seemingly chaotic situations. Verse 2 elaborates on this theme. In addition to being sovereign, God is the final judge. All the injustices of this world will be corrected some glorious day.
Okay. Verse 3, entrust your affairs to the Lord and your plans will succeed. The Lord made everything for a purpose, even the wicked for an evil day. Every haughty person is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly,
hold on a second.
Yeah,
we gotta take verse 4. That's a very interesting thought.
Yeah,
the Lord has made all for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. That seems to answer the question that people often ask, that if there's a loving God and he's sovereign, why is there wickedness? Why are there evil people? Well, mm-hmm. They were made even for the day of doom, and that will be to his glory as well.
Yeah, I think the people who are asking the question will find that as equally disturbing as the original question they had. That, in other words, the person who is perplexed by why God allows the existence of evil is also going to have a hard time with that kind of sovereignty, message of the sovereignty of God, that God has created the evil for destruction. Although that
it
is
also answers why there's sin. And you know, like, why did he allow Adam to fall? Why is there sin? It's like all of these things. It's like, even the wicked for the day of doom. It's,
well, that's the message that Paul and I think the prophet Isaiah, you know, when Isaiah talks about the potter who makes one vessel and it doesn't come out right and he throws it away in the garbage and makes another one. Paul talks about there are vessels of honor and there are vessels of dishonor. And so there's that in the Bible acknowledges that level of sovereignty of God. I know modern man does not like to hear that.
Right.
But that's what the Bible teaches. So what can you say?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really interesting verse, though. I guess, again, it's not that it opposes that concept that there's this duality, that there's God and he's responsible for the good things, and then there's Satan.
Yeah, because then you don't have
there. That's not true. It's God. He's sovereign, and even the wicked, he made for himself. For that, you know what I mean. There is no chess match between God and Satan.
Although the Bible does say that God is not the author of evil,
right?
So that I think. You know, that there's the real, you know, how do you reconcile those two concepts?
I don't know, and I'm not trying to suggest
the
author of sin, but or evil, but
there is evil in the world, and God is, it says God's not the author of it, and yet he is ultimately the creator of everything. So I don't know what you do with that. Every haughty person is an abomination to the Lord. Assuredly, he will not go unpunished. Iniquity is expiated by loyalty and faithfulness. How does your translation take six?
In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity.
Okay, it pretty much says the same thing.
And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil.
And evil is avoided through fear of the Lord. Yeah. When the Lord is pleased with a man's conduct, he may turn even his enemies into allies. Better a little with righteousness than a large income with injustice. A man may plot out his course, but it is the Lord who directs his steps. Now that may tie into the verse we read earlier about the heart. Man may arrange his thoughts, but what he says depends on the Lord.
That's kind of what I was thinking, yeah.
And here, man may plot out his course, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. So even, you know, behind your plotting, there is the Lord. Behind your thinking in your heart, what you're going to say, there's the Lord who's putting the words in your heart.
One kind of made me think of Moses and Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
That there was this plan and this preparation in Moses's heart, but the answer of Pharaoh, whether or not the children could leave, that came from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean as to what the Pharaoh was saying came from?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could do the same thing. It's like, I intend on, I don't know, transferring from claims department to pharmacy. Well, mm-hmm. I can do that, but whether or not my boss or those,
whether it's going to happen,
that answer comes from the Lord.
I get it. Honest scales and balances are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. Wicked deeds are an abomination to kings. for the throne is established by righteousness. Truthful speech wins the favor of kings. They love those who speak honestly. The king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man can appease it. The king's smile means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. How much better to acquire wisdom than gold? To acquire understanding is preferable to silver. The highway of the upright avoids evil. Who would preserve his life watches his way. Pride goes before ruin, arrogance before failure. I was thinking there's a verse. I was going back to 17, the highway of the upright avoids evil. I think there's a lot of teaching in the Bible about, you know, taking, when you see, you can sort of tell when things are going wrong or when there's evil in your path. You know what I mean? And if you...
No.
I'll give you an example. Let me get this is the best way to do it from the Bible. You remember the story of Joseph and how he, when Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, it says that he ran out and left his cloak behind.
Right.
That's an example, I think, of what's being spoken of here about. Where's that verse? The avoiding evil. And was he saw that the situation he was approaching was going to lead to evil. And he took steps to avoid it proceeding any further. In other words, he could have just said, oh, well, things, you know, whatever's happening is happening. And not, in the end, you know, it might have had different outcome because... You need to act to the extent that you have the ability to act when you see things are going wrong.
Yeah.
So we were up to 18:19. Better to be humble and among the lowly than to share spoils with the proud. He who is adept in a matter will attain success. Happy is he who trusts in the Lord. There's that combination of ability and trust in the Lord at the same time.
Yeah.
It's you should obtain skills and become competent in what you're doing at the same time. Trust in the Lord, because that's the ultimate source of your success. The wise hearted is called discerning. One whose speech is pleasing gains wisdom. Good sense is a fountain of life to those who have it. And folly is the punishment of fools. The mind of the wise man, I'm sure that's heart, yes. The heart of the wise man makes his speech effective and increases the wisdom on his lips. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the palate and a cure for the body. A road may seem right to a man, but in the end it is a road to death. The appetite of a laborer labors for him because his hunger forces him on.
You know, I want to say something about that in verse 21. Mm-hmm. I know we've read this in the last chapter, but it's really significant, this verse.
Which one? At 26?
It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
Yeah.
It's not that there's a way that's crazy or illogical and that leads to death. It's a way that seems right. In other words, this is the problem with human reason and divine revelation, what we've received in God's word, and that the world looks at the things that are in the Bible, and they go, well, that's cute and clever, or maybe it's, or not even that, maybe, yeah, that's stupid, because experience and science and just our own way of rationalizing things contradicts what the Bible says. And so there's a way that seems right. And there's a million examples you can give of that, where they can say, well, the creation story as found in the Bible, that's obviously stupid. So let's come up with something that seems right. And you can do that and go, and it's not, again, it's not that that's some far-fetched, insane thing. All of the things that men think of is a way that seems rational, that seems right, but the end is the way to death. And life is therefore only found really when we submit to the word. Did you want to say something, buddy? That we need to, what's the word? Submit our logic to God's word. I've always loved that verse because it's like there's a way that seems right. It's not like it's like yeah, that seems right, but the end thereof is death. So that's all I
I
wanted to say.
think the problem in that, the thing that causes the problem, let's say, is that it doesn't start with God. When the verse in Psalm says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If that's your starting point, there is no God, or there is no fear of God, when you have to come to some decision as to what is true and what is false, what you're going to, once you start from the wrong place, you're going to come to wrong conclusions. If you start with the Word of God, that can be a guide to your thinking, and you can come to the right side of things. I don't think it means that we have to just blindly accept. No, that's not
I
really
mean,
true. I mean, it's not that you don't have to accept the Word of God. It's that I think you, like we've been experiencing today, there's a lot of things here that we read that, or that I've read here that I don't understand.
yeah.
But that's, those are points where we need further enlightenment. Let's put it that it's silly to stay here because I don't understand it, therefore it's not true. We got to go beyond that.
Yeah, I guess what I'm just saying is that there's a million examples that you can come up with. You can say, I think that the meaning of life is to acquire as many earthly possessions as possible and have as much money. It's like, yeah, that sounds right. That seems right. What I'm saying? But the end thereof is death. That's not what's right, even though it might sound logical. And there's a million things that we can give to that. It's not that it's crazy. I'm not coming up with some, I think that the meaning of life is to just eat a bag of marshmallows every day. That doesn't make sense. But what I'm saying sounds reasonable. And if I were to say that to the average person, they'd say, absolutely, I agree with you. And there's a lot of things that seem right, but they're in contrast to God's word.
A scoundrel plots evil. What is on his lips is like a scorching fire. A shifty man stirs up strife, and a querulous one alienates his friend. A lawless man misleads his friend, making him take the wrong way. He closes his eyes while meditating deception. He purses his lips while deciding upon evil. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is attained by the way of righteousness. Better to be forbearing than mighty, to have self-control than to conquer a city. Lots are cast into the lap. The decision depends on the Lord.
Yeah, you know, that verse 32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Mm-hmm. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Pink was just commenting on this. Actually, mm-hmm. And he was talking about the patience of God. And he was trying to describe how amazing it is that the wicked aren't destroyed instantly. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and he goes, we as worldlings like to think that it's impressive when someone like a Napoleon or a Hitler or something, where they're just conquering things and they're very quick and they're brutal. And, you know, he goes, but look at God, who's stronger. He goes, well, I guess what he was trying to say is that it shows more strength in restraining your own spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was profound, that it's not the person who blows up and punches someone in the face that's strong. Yeah. It's the person who's able to subdue their own will and strength.
Yeah.
That's the real mighty person. And this verse says, he who is slow to anger, who's slow to anger? Well, isn't that one of the attributes that we say of God? He's full of mercy and slow to anger.
Yeah.
That any should perish, right?
Right.
So this verse is saying that he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty.
Hmm. Yeah.
And he who rules his spirit, so again, that's something that God is able to do. And it's an amazing thing, because I think if we were God, we would have destroyed everybody and everything. Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an amazing verse. That's exactly what Pink was talking about, is that it shows more strength that he doesn't destroy the wicked, mm-hmm. than that if he were to display his power.
Right.
Destroy them, which is an amazing thing.
Hmm. Very interesting. Okay. I think we've just about completed our time allotment, so we probably shouldn't go on to another one. Another verse. Right. We'll save that for next time. I'm going to end the recording, John.
Yeah, please.